Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of SNL Radio. I am your host, Max, along here with Sasha.
Hi.
And welcome to the new year.
Yay! Happy 2017!
Yes, yes, we made it.
Yep,
we made it.
I can't believe I didn't kill you.
Yeah, I can't believe I
didn't
kill you either.
I know you.
Mm-hmm.
You knocked me down a couple steps a few times.
I ain't gonna lie, I brought the shovel. I ain't gonna lie.
That's why I put shit in your food. So the ceiling was
That's why I ain't wash my hands either, so.
I know. I just stopped washing my hands. I just put my hand on my snack. And put it on your French toast.
That's why I had that little
flavor. Yeah,
that was good. Make some more of that. Snatch French toast.
That ain't bad. Just
washing on it. Anyway, we are here because the 45th president.
55th?
Yeah.
Damn.
My so-called dyslexia, I guess you can say.
Your
45th president of the United States will be inaugurated on the 27th of this month.
21st.
Oh, 21st.
Hey, don't feel bad. He didn't know when the date of the damn election was going to take place. So don't feel too bad.
The 21st of this month. Donald T.
Trump.
Yeah, Trump. The T stands for tyrant, tenacious, turd.
Trump. Donald T. Trump. Will be your next president.
Oh, boy.
Congratulations.
Who would ever thought that we would be sitting here that Donald J. Trump.
Is it J or T?
I thought it was J. It might be T. I don't
jackass,
know.
Jackass, jerk,
weasel.
Jizz. His daddy should have swallowed. That was the day she
should have
swallowed.
Mm-hmm.
That was terrible.
Who knows? She could have swallowed it and got pregnant. You know hoes can do amazing things, boy.
And please don't forget the first lady, Melania. Yeah,
the first Trump. I should say, I was going to say something else, but I caught myself.
You're talking
about a Trump? Yep. First lady Trump.
I thought you were going to say Trump. You had that look in your face. Like, don't you say that? See you next Tuesday.
Will be the first lady. Who ever think of a hoe? See, that's giving hoes some stamina.
You call a hoe, ain't
no hoe. Cause she out here posting new. How many first ladies out here?
Well, I'm not gonna call her a hoe.
I would call her a hoe.
I'm not gonna say that, cause I don't know what that woman did. But I know that, for one thing, I hope they're getting us reading class.
No, she's a hoe because
she needs
no first lady should be out there being halfway nude, semi-nude, or nude.
I ain't got
taking whorish pictures. Come on now.
I don't have nothing to do with that.
I do.
We can't slut shame that woman.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
It is what it is.
Don't slut
shame. If it barks like a dog and take a shit like a dog, then it's a dog.
Okay, Tupac.
What?
White rabbit in the woods.
Exactly. Exactly.
Speaking of Tupac, he's getting inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Oh, but that ain't what we're talking about.
We're going to get into that. We're going to be talking about next week. So.
I digress.
Uh-huh.
I just need to say that.
Okay.
Thug Life.
Yeah, yay. So, what was on his agenda when he was talking about being nominated and running for the office, the political office?
What was his agenda? Do you even remember what he talked about? I
know he not.
I have no clue because anytime his orange behind came on the TV and they talking about it, I kind of went deaf, dumb, and mute.
Well, the only thing I was that was probably slammed into my head because, like, Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Neutron, what's his name? The other Jimmy. What's the other Jimmy?
Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon was talking about building a wall around Mexico.
Oh, yeah, he wanted to build a wall to keep the immigrants from coming across the border. That's what that was. Okay, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You had to bring it back to my recollection because I have kind of, like, pushed that shit out of my head, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have... Oh, and then I know he said, we as black people, you got no jobs. You're living in poverty. Your schools are bad. So why not take a chance on me?
Hey, you make sense.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. But see, the thing is about Donald Trump is that he's not politically correct. He's not going to go out here and say, black people's schools are bad. You know, well, he going to get, say Hillary Clinton going to go out here and state fact, 90% of inner schools have a failing rate, which is bad for, the community or the urban community. That's just a nice way of putting it. Donald Trump was like, you black people, you should just give me a 10. Your schools ain't doing good. You're not doing good. Can't get a job. What else can fail you now?
The fact that his dumbass may implement stop and frisk.
Mm-hmm.
That's what can hurt you.
But see,
as black people, stop and frisk is implemented back, which he did say in the first debate between him and Hillary that should come back.
Mm-hmm.
That can hurt black people.
Yeah.
So why do we need it? We've done stop and frisk. And stop and frisk was what? You had racial profiling. And instead of being frisk, hell, you had a billy club thrown across your head. So, no, I don't have to give him a chance. My school may not be the best.
Uppity. Had AC and carpet, though.
Yes, my high school had AC and a pool, an Olympic-sized pool.
Yeah, see, that's uppity.
That's not uppity.
Uh-huh.
It was built that way. I can't help that. And it had carpet.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and the pool had the top open over the pool.
Now, that's just white people's problems right there. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. My school is privileged.
Yes.
OMG.
Oh, my God. We got a retractable roof like the stadium.
Yeah, they had a retractable roof for school meet. Because we had a swimming
thing. Oh, see that? That's just uppity. See that?
And it was a Olympic-sized pool.
And let me guess, everybody who went to that school was on the track meet or on the swim team got their own outfit. They ain't had to share it.
Their own outfit?
Yeah, their own,
Jersey,
yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, see that? You go to a nigga school, everybody had to share a jersey. Number 55 been shared, 882.
Wow, okay. Well, I mean, I went to a school when I was coming up. I went to an urban school. I don't think that it's quote-unquote black schools that are bad. I think all schools need to be looked at because it's not just black schools that are failing our children. All schools in most urban areas, first of all, especially here in the state of Georgia, which was just on the ballot when we voted to have the governor take over the schools. To put someone in failing schools, so it's not just black schools that are failing. As far as Trump's platform, I mean, my thing is now your his whole platform was about separation, right?
Mm-hmm.
He went about to separate and the country, which was already in an uproar, telling everyone, oh, well, if you do this, you'll get jobs and whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you have won the election and you think that we as Americans can come together, and you want all of us to now play nice when you were the one that helped disseminate our already tumultuous time in our country. I just can't stand for that. I have to him cutting out food stamps. That's the first thing that people always want to cut out are food stamps. Okay. But guess what? You cut out food stamps, you're not just going to affect Tasha down there with her six kids. You're also going to affect Molly over there that's also living in the projects across the street from Tasha with her six kids. You're also going to affect Mary Sue with her seven kids because she got one on the way. You're going to affect there because just as many as there are poor blacks, there are just a number of poor whites. So,
but the difference is your skin color. Becky can get a job faster than, you know, Tasha over here.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of her skin color. But yeah, Becky can have no education, can have a GED, but, you know, Tasha over here, she can have a high school diploma and some kind of certificate on what she's going to be doing. But they would look at Becky and be like, oh, come on in here. We'll give you the job.
True, true.
So that's why Trump is like, yeah, we're going to take, we might lower your food stamps or we might just take it away. Because I already know the white people are going to get a hands up because of the color of their skin.
He ain't not going to cut food stamps.
Yes, he will.
Okay.
Yes, he will because he's thinking is, well,
well,
the economy has
sure
to come out
somewhere. Buy some from somebody before.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go over here and buy $100 from Becky. I get $110 from Becky.
Yeah, because Tasha costs too much. She wants $100 for $99. That's okay. I'll pass.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tosh. I'm going to go over here at Becky. Oh, well, if you want to join in on the conversation, you know, and you got some opinions, call in at 929-472-384. So.
What's that number again?
929-472-384. If you want to speak to one of us, and if you want to talk on air, then press 1, and then we'll bring you in so that you can give your opinion. Now, the one thing that I want to talk about is the fact that now he's getting his cabinet together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says that that he had no dealings with Putin, with Russia. He never denounced David Duke, who was the master wizard?
Grand wizard.
Master grand wizard.
Mm-hmm. He's a grand wizard. Mm-hmm.
Rednecker.
Honky tonk.
Rednecker.
Peckerhead.
He never denounced him, but yet and still he's getting some of the so-called known Klan members into his cabinet. Let's also talk about the fact that he is adding, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's like Trump. I think it's with the Treasury or something like that. Department of Education, I don't remember. Excuse me for not being prepared. It's been a lazy day. It's been a rainy night in Georgia. I've been laying up fucking.
Mm-hmm. Ain't my fault.
Yes, it was.
I told her to come on. She's like, no, one more game. Rewind. What's that in the poetry? Rewind.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He had him. He's just like Trump, where he has no political background.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's being put into this position of power where he knows nothing. I'm just, you know, everyone's saying sit back, give him a chance. I'm not giving him a chance. I have to deal with him because he's the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I have to deal with whatever his policies are that are handed down and that will come for the citizens of this country. I have to be, I have to deal with that, but as far as giving him a chance, or I'm not giving him a chance, I'm not going to participate in the bullshit at all in any way possible.
Yeah, but even though he may not, you know, put David Duke in a, on his cabinet of choices, he can still have political say because he's tight with Trump.
Yeah.
So don't think that, well, he didn't put him in office for to do nothing. No, he can still take take heat or take political suggestions from Duke, but like, well, you know, we can white power this thing up if you do this right here.
Well, one thing that is, you know, when you go back and you look at some of the policies now, before President Obama is leaving the White House, he has implemented some very harsh sanctions on Russia because it has been said that Russia hacked the United States during the presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're not saying that, because of it, that it necessarily affected the election, but they went in, they hacked, and fumbled around.
Of course they're not going to say it didn't, because then it's like, okay, this will be the first time that, you know, something like this will come up, and so what they going to do, tell everybody to go re-vote?
No, because they've actually, you know, they did that recount. Remember that? A couple weeks ago, before Christmas, they did the recount.
But the recount was, but then they had...
It was in one state. I don't remember what state.
Right, and then everybody had to go, well, the Senate had to go back and vote whether or not...
The Electoral College.
Yeah, had to go in there and say, who would you vote for?
Mm-hmm.
And so majority of them are in office right now are Republicans. So what you think they're going to do?
And the majority of them, of the Electoral College, when they were asked about their vote, and here in Georgia, so good old country boy Deal and his crew,
mm-hmm.
of course they voted for him.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't change their vote. But now that these sanctions, that President Obama have put down these sanctions on Russia, it's going to be very funny to see that when Trump gets into office, is he going to lift those sanctions? Of course, he's going to go back and try to undo everything that President Obama has done in the last 4-8 years, starting with Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also talking about going, but you know how President Obama had lifted some sanctions, the import-export embargo that was on Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about not only, Trump is talking about going back, undoing those sanctions, and even coming down harder on Cuba now that Castro is dead.
Mm-hmm. And President Obama even outcasted some Russians who are over here supposed to be diplomats because they deemed them spies.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent those the Russian people.
Mm-hmm.
The people who they're in like the United Nations and
diplomats.
Diplomats. Families back too. So all of them are back in Russia right now. The plane landed sometime this morning or this afternoon. I forgot. But I was like, okay, but that's something I don't think he's not going to lift that because it won't look good for him. Because if he does, then that's saying that, yeah, number one, Russia has some ties to the cheating scandal, which in my eyes, made you win. And two, you're saying that you're not friends, but you know you just know one another.
Yeah.
So
he and Putin
were
Russia,
together hand in hand.
Yeah. They had. And he know about now. If he knew about them hacking in order for him to win the president, I don't think that happened. Now, did Russia hack the U.S.? Yes, I believe that they did that.
But they
hacked the U.S. I can't remember exactly why, but they hacked the U.S. for something.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that why do it for the election? Why not try to hack in to get government?
I don't think they did it for the election. They did it. Basically, it was just like China. When China leaked the emails from the Sony execs to make you look bad. But I think that I don't think that the hackers had anything to do with Trump winning the election. I think Trump won the election simply because there are more people in this country where, for one, the biggest thing, they don't want a woman in power. They don't want a woman to have instilled that sexist mindset where there is not, where a woman should not have the amount of power to be president of this country. Number one. Number two, the reason I feel that Trump won was because you have a lot of people, and as many of the correspondents were saying during the election, that people voted for Trump that had not voted for years. Also, you have to look at the crossover vote. Many people that had voted Democrat for years crossed the party line. Also,
that don't make sense because Hillary Clinton won even the popular vote.
She won the popular vote, but more older Democrats, more of those in the baby boomer age, and they crossed party lines. Also, a number of young Democrats cross party lines because, and another thing that the reason Hillary lost was because she never, the way she went after Obama in 2008, she went after Bernie Sanders. And the thing about it was Obama realized, you know, with her and Obama, she realized his thing was, we can get something done if we work together, when she lost the nomination, right? It was more of a let's work together. Now, Bernie came out and finally gave her his support when Trump was moving ahead in the race. You know, when he kept winning the state. But Hillary herself never, because a lot of people did not like Hillary for a number of reasons. And they did not, one of the reasons that many of the Bernie Sanders supporters did not like her was because of how she went after him. And they just didn't like her. And she never regrouped and never got those supporters from the Bernie Sanders camp to come on her camp and say, we're with her. You know what I'm saying? It was a lot of them that just didn't. And a lot of people in this election didn't like Trump, didn't like Hillary, and they just didn't vote. A lot of people didn't vote.
Yeah, but see, that's why, in my eyes, that Trump won because people, especially a lot of Democrats, like, I don't like neither one of them, so I'm not voting. The Republicans kind of like, oh, we got to get him in office. He for us.
A lot of them
was,
a lot of them were. A great number of them. States that were legitimately, supposedly blue.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. But when you look at it, when you look at the numbers, you will go back and see states that were like New Hampshire and were predominantly blue states.
Mm-hmm.
Those states, the number of the people that she needed to get that state in the election, they crossed party lines. They went over. Because a lot of people are very disenfranchised with the state that America's in. You getting a lot of these people are the ones that don't like Obama, feel like he's run the country in the ground. They're broke. They don't have any money. And then you got to also look at the party people, the number of people that were, quote-unquote, rich,
uh-huh.
and they don't want any more taxes taken out for the wealthy to help take care of them poor people that won't get a job.
And that, to me, was not part of it, but it's like, okay, well, see, that's the thing. The filthy rich, like the oil, I can't say Uber, like let's say General Motors, or it can be another big name company.
Mm-hmm.
It started out in America,
mm-hmm.
but then they went overseas because it's cheaper over there and they can pay less taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't touch the taxes now.
Mm-hmm.
So if we say, well, you wealthy people have to pay more taxes,
mm-hmm.
they don't have to do it because Their business is overseas.
It's not them, though. The wealthy that you're looking at are not the ones in corporations, but the ones that have private party, I guess you could say, wealthy. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does that make sense what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at another portion of America that voted for Trump were what they called the Rust Bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are the ones that worked in Detroit, you know, General Motors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were the factory workers.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go in that part of the country now, there are no jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these people were your laborers.
Well, a lot of jobs, President Obama, he did say when he gave the auto industry all that money.
Yeah, the car industry, a lot of big business, a lot of, what do you call them, laboring type
mm-hmm.
facility. When he saved the car market with the General Motors and all of them, he saved a lot of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, people that are like welders, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that you're talking about. The laborers
mm-hmm.
of America. And they are kind of like the bottom. They're not the bottom, but they're the middle. And that's why they call them the Rust Bucket State.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are, oh, well, he's, you know, like in Virginia, places like those, you know, they came out and voted.
And they're white folks.
Yes, they're white.
And they're
immigrants.
Yeah.
Because what people don't want to really realize either, too, even though Trump is talking about building a wall and sending immigrants home and, you know, kicking them out of the U.S. and stuff, there were, out of a large number, but there are some immigrants, if you want to call it, that voted for him too. I'm not saying it was a large number,
mm-hmm.
but these are the ones that not necessarily came over in this country illegally,
mm-hmm.
but they're like a third generation,
mm-hmm.
and they got a little wealth. You know, they
mm-hmm.
came over with, they've established themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone, even when you talk about the Hispanic population, there are some Hispanics that sometimes you know, feel
a left
little,
out.
A, feel, not necessarily, I don't want to say left out,
mm-hmm.
but feel like some people are coming here and they're getting a handout when they had to work. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, but the people who are here legally, you might say they don't need a handout. They don't need a hand up.
Yeah,
but the people and the people who do come here illegally, it's like, okay, you can get free health care.
Yeah.
You can get food stamps.
Yeah.
Just like that. You don't have to wait no, you know, you can even get housing quicker than someone who's been here for, you know, 15, 20 years, and all of a sudden they need a somewhere to live.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, they're immigrants. They don't have no job. They don't speak English. They only speak Spanish.
Well, when you talk about immigrants, now you can't just talk about the Hispanic population, which is boom. Now you got to talk about how in this country, because of Syria,
mm-hmm.
now you have a group of immigrant people. I hate saying that, but
it is what it
is. Yeah, but you know, they are people that have come here. They're supposed to be vetted, but now at the same time, if you send them back to Syria, or if you send them back to Mexico, you know, they're not safe. Now, I don't agree with the policy of building the wall and sending people back. They're here. They have.
I do.
I don't.
I do because they're getting stuff that it can be.
I feel like they should have rules that they should follow in order to receive the benefits here. It's a first come, first serve. And to get those benefits, you need to be legal. To stay here. You need to come here and you need, instead of just automatically, you know, I gotta get you gotta get housing and you getting this free stuff. Okay. But then within 6 months to a year, you need to be legalized in order to continue to get your benefits while living in this country. There are things that, there are rules.
That could take probably a year to a year and a half, because if somebody does it legally, they go through how to speak, how to write English.
Mm-hmm.
They go how to count the money.
Mm-hmm.
They learn about the American history.
Mm-hmm.
They go through all that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the people over here that don't speak English, I'm sure they say, if you ask them, do you speak English? They speak English, because how are you going to get around here and not speak English?
English.
No, uh-uh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Because somebody, if somebody, like back in Connecticut, there's a McDonald's. Only thing there is Mexicans and probably Puerto Ricans, okay, because the owner, he's Puerto Rican. So he's hiring his own mira kind, per se, okay? Now, there was one girl, she spoke English, but it wasn't good English.
Mm-hmm.
They had her on the register. And she was like, fish sandwich? Yeah, fish sandwich. And it's like, well, damn, ain't the little button, the only thing you got to do is press a little picture on it. All right, fish sandwich, minus this or add that. And it's like, okay.
It's very easy for Hispanic people to come to this country, or even any other nationality, to come to this country and live amongst each other and not speak English. I'll tell you how I know. When I was in high school, with this young lady, and she was of Hispanic descent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She spoke English. She had an accent, but she spoke English.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she brought her mother to, she also had, like, she's kind of in the middle of the children.
Mm-hmm.
She had younger siblings, and then she had some older siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in the middle. Well, her mother came to school. It was something we had, teacher something. And she came with her parents. Her parents didn't speak a lick of English.
Mm-hmm.
None. And I remember asking her, Her name was Gisela. And we were friendly with each other, you know. And she would teach me some Spanish, best she could.
Mm-hmm.
And I would teach her some English sayings best I could, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, I said, your parents don't speak English at all? And she said, no. And she said, when I go home, I don't speak English. That's how some communities are. That's how some households are. So when they are out amongst everyone else that speak English, they speak it. But because of their tradition at home, especially when it comes to the first and second generation, which would be grandmother, Abuela, and, you know, all of that, they traditionally speak Spanish in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So it's very easy for a Spanish-speaking person or Hispanic person to come to this country and... Not because with Gisela, when we first started high school, she was taking, they had these classes where you had, you know, where they were teaching the kids that were from other countries, because there were some children from the Palestine and all those places. They were trying to teach them English so that they could function amongst everyone else.
And that's what tells you right there that they're illegal, and they knew they were illegal.
They weren't illegal.
They're illegal. Because when you come over here, when you do it the
she
right
wasn't
way.
Illegal. She was born.
Yeah, but her parents.
But her family may have been.
Right. But so the ones that were taking that English course on how to speak English, they wasn't legally supposed to be here, because that's one of the things you do. We do things the right way. They teach you how to speak English.
But there is a time frame for a person that comes to this country and they're assimilated to this country and our ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from the time that happens until the time that they get their citizenship. Because in the United States, you have to send your children to school. Your kid could be 7 years old already. And most seven-year-old children in the U.S. are in second grade. But because your child doesn't speak the language, they can't necessarily, or you don't have records to necessarily say what grade they are in or what they know, they're going to start them off slow and move them. That's what
the immigration people are supposed to do. If you got a child, they're going to put your child, just like when we saw that 60 Minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Those people were not in school. Those are immigration place. I forgot what
when they were coming from Syria, and they were talking about how they had to be vetted in order to come to this country, and they had to pass. They were in school. Their
but that was
in
that was that. How can I say it was? They had to at least learn something from the immigration before you actually get your papers, because they can't just let you go out here and say, "Well, I need to go to the store."
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
How are you supposed to go to the store if you don't know where the store is at, or how to say store?
You get a
or hospital.
You get like a handler for maybe a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're on your own. Because they said that in the 60-minute speech.
You ain't going to learn nothing.
They're on their own. You have to learn as you go. Because that's why they group together.
Mm-hmm.
You find, you know, people that group together in different speaking countries from different places, because it's easier, especially if they're in a community where it's more of them that speak the language. They may not be from the same area,
uh-huh.
but there is some similarity in their language,
uh-huh.
and they're able to communicate with each other. Because, you know, here we are, we see Hispanics or Mexicans, and we say Mexicans, and we are, you know, when you say Hispanic, most people think Mexican, but everyone is Mexican. That's just our thinking.
If you speak the same meat as me, that you are the
but
same family.
Not the, no.
Yeah, it's kind of like you got different
regions.
Well, you got different regions, but
Dallas.
But yeah, but it's kind of like in Africa. You got like a, I think over 300 different languages in Africa. But they gonna just group you all together and be like, oh, they just African. They ain't gonna say, well, this one speaks Swahili, this one speaks Mabuku. No, like you from Africa, you speak African. And that's the way people look like. Well, you speaking that. Yeah. You African. It's the same thing with Indian people. Hey, yahoo.
No, they're different Indians.
Well, they're not. No, to me, those are true Indians.
Mm-hmm.
They're not American Indians.
Mm-hmm.
They're not.
Well, where are you gonna find true Indians that speak their native language? They're here in America on the reservation.
Exactly.
They still speak their language, but the Indian from India or, you know.
I'm sure they got their own mosque that they can go to.
Mosque?
Yeah, Indians.
Indians
the red dot. What'd they go to?
I thought Muslims went to mosque.
What about Indians? I know they got a mat. They pray down and, you know, they kneel
That's
down and
Muslim.
Pray. They do that in India too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they do. So the final question I got before we sign off here is, what are people going to do when Trump says, hey, we're cutting food stamps? What are you going to do? Or what do you think people should do?
Grow their own food. Get a farm.
You live in a ghetto, huh? You know. That's a good one.
You should have farms. You should have farms in desert areas like ghettos anyway.
No, you shouldn't. Because, you know, them niggas can't even get along to say the term.
You say niggas.
That's right, niggas. Because niggas, is, they don't know how to do shit.
Wow.
And you already know if it's 10 o'clock at night and Rufus and them are on out here blasting their music.
Rufus.
And the high rise, you know.
Shaka.
Yeah, Shaka.
And Rufus.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Tamika and, you know.
Well, to answer the question, I think what people need to do, what people need to do, should have been doing, what we all should be doing in the first place, is pooling our resources. Using your knowledge, because we all have a skill. And if I'm just saying what we should be doing. I'm not saying what people will do.
I know.
I'm saying what we should do. And the main thing is, get out of debt. Learn to use money the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And
don't be no follower.
Work together. You know, it's easier said than done. That's what I think. But I think that people should, we as black people in our own community would prosper if we could all work together and pool our resources, our knowledge, and our skills together, because that's the only way that we're going to survive. That's how we survived for millions for years during slavery and after in Reconstruction. I can't help I'm smart.
Well, see, that's the difference between being black or African-American and being a nigga. Niggas don't want to educate themselves because they figure, well, shoot, if I go ahead and get a good education or a good job, I can't mix over here with my counterparts that's still struggling in the hood, because now I think that just because I got a little bit of money and I got a good job and I have to speak correctly at my job, and I pick up the phone and say, hello, how are you? My name is. You're acting too white.
Okay.
So that's why a lot of them would be like, well, these people down here, they've been with me since